Would you please turn to John chapter 3? John chapter 3. Before we go any further here, as I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be doing something a little bit different today. Today is, we're going to call it Double Dose Day, because there are two distinct messages I need to deliver to you. And that's why we're moving right along here, because not only are both of these to be delivered, two totally separate, but at the same time, I am to be sensitive to the time. You know, God is sensitive to these things and so forth. I never belabor things and lengthen them just for the sake of lengthening them, but, you know, there are two separate subjects which need to be covered today. And so anyway, if you have not already done so, please turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that, and what's the next word? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, what we see would seem to indicate that everybody is welcome to believe in Jesus. And again, I'm not trying to trip you up. I mean, that's just what it says, whosoever. Now, if whosoever is invited, doesn't it stand to reason that God would want all of the whosoevers to know about Jesus? Absolutely. All right, now look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now we see, in between what we read in John and what we see in Romans, three times whosoever is mentioned. And so therefore, it seems to be very clear that in just these two passages we've read today, or so far, that God wants anybody and everybody to know about Jesus, and he truly wants everyone to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. What we would say, call, be born again. That's his desire. What I'm getting ready to share with you, I am fully prepared for any and all criticism and flack that may be directed toward me, but I know that I am 100% right in this. And a lot of Christians, I already know, may become excessively upset with me. I don't care. I'm right, and I know I'm right. You'll understand the further we go. A lot of this I've already printed out because I want to make sure that I keep myself on track. Some people might say, well, don't you trust the Holy Spirit? Well, yeah, I trust the Holy Spirit. It's me I don't trust. So anyway, on July 19th, 2012, Charlie Craig and Dave Mullins walked into Masterpiece Bakery in Lakewood, Colorado to order a cake for a wedding, with the wedding being their own. The bakery's owner, Jack Phillips, explained that as a Christian, he could not in good conscience bake a cake for such a wedding because it conflicted with his beliefs. Well, things didn't go too well beyond that point because it led to a court case in which the state of Colorado found Mr. Phillips guilty of discrimination. During this entire process, there was this tremendous outcry from Christians around the nation they were siding with Mr. Phillips, declaring that, you know, he should have the freedom to, to refuse being a part of something that clearly violates the standards set forth in God's Word. And so Christians were saying this isn't right, you know, he shouldn't be prosecuted, and this shouldn't happen, and so on and so forth. You know, we're Christians, you know, and this is wrong. So therefore, we should have the right to say no. Well, Mr. Craig and Mr. Mullins were married not long after the encounter in Masterpiece Bakery. And they shared the following in an interview. "I want him to have his own religious beliefs and his own experiences and his own ideas," Mr. Craig said. Then Mr. Mullins quickly added, "But you cannot practice your religion in a way that denigrates others or excludes them from full participation in public life." What isn't clear is how Mr. Phillips' refusal to bake them a wedding cake would have excluded them from full participation in public life. I don't see the connection there. Because baking a cake for somebody, I mean, how do you say, I won't do that for you, I won't provide a particular service for you, and then all of a sudden now you're excluded from public life? I don't understand that logic. However, if you're not careful, his statement can sound really good. Well, eventually, as many of you are aware, this case was argued before the Supreme Court of the United States. So I don't have the actual date for that, but I believe in 2017 is when it actually finally made its way into the Supreme Court of the United States. On Monday, June 4th, 2018, the Supreme Court, in a narrow 5-4 decision, ruled in Mr. Phillips' favor. Christians rejoiced, and they saw this as a victory for religious freedoms. However, there's a far darker side to this ruling than many Christians appear to grasp. It seemed like not everybody, I say that just, you know, as a generalized statement, but it seemed like all the Christians were saying, "Yay, we won. Yay, you know, this is a victory for all of us who profess Jesus." And I'm observing this, and I'm thinking, you have no idea what you're rejoicing over. You have no idea what's about ready to happen and has begun. If Christians can refuse to bake a wedding cake for homosexuals, then why not refuse to bake wedding cakes for Muslims? Why not refuse to bake wedding cakes for atheists or Jews? I mean, they don't believe in Jesus. Why not refuse to bake wedding cakes for polygamists? Are you hearing me? Now, I don't know Mr. Phillips. I've never met him. And he may be one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. I am not, this message is not a criticism of Jack Phillips. I want to make sure this is explicitly clear. But if we're not going to bake a cake, and it could be any Christian-owned bakery, if we're not going to bake a cake for two men or two women who want to get married, well then, why not say, no, I will not bake a cake for your bar mitzvah? It contradicts the very standards and essence of the Word of God. I cannot be in agreement with it. I mean, why not take it to that level? Why is this only about men wanting to marry men and women wanting to marry men? Why is it only about that? Because if you're going to take a stand against beliefs and standards which contradict the very Word of God, should you not expand that stand to everything and to everyone? Shouldn't you? Well, Too many Christians are extremely hypocritical. They claim that all people should be treated equally because God loves everyone equally. Yet they turn around and demand special treatment and recognition from both the public sector and the legal system. Christians want the right to say no when they encounter a contradiction to Scripture. However, they want the elite status privilege of being served in any situation, regardless of what others believe. Kind of quiet in here. And wherever you're watching, it's quiet there too. In essence, many Christians want religious freedoms, liberty, and rights they are not willing to extend to others. This is a type of dichotomy, and we can't have it both ways. It's one thing for a pastor to refuse to perform a wedding based on Christian values. Such a decision falls in the category of a private religious ceremony. A church is not required to honor the beliefs of every religion. However, when it comes to the operation of a public, non-religious-based business, this is an entirely different matter. It is not the same, no matter what you think. It is not the same. When you go into business, I don't care what the business is, ask business owners, why are you in business? Well, the truth of the matter is, nobody starts a business to lose money. Everybody starts a business to make a profit. So that's where it starts. It's to make money. But beyond that, so many of them are going to tell you, well, it's to help people or to serve people. Okay, then. Do it. If that's what your business is about, no matter what kind of business you have, do it. Do what you say you're there to do. In 2012, now I don't know how many of you are going to remember this, but in 2012, not long after the news broke of what had happened at the bakery and the subsequent possible legal action, I stood here in this pulpit and I sounded a warning. And very briefly, what I said was this, that if Christian business owners are allowed to refuse service to people because of a conflict in lifestyles and beliefs, then Christians can be refused service for the same reasons. And I don't think everybody who heard me took that warning very seriously. Now here we are 6 years later. Christians and conservatives are being refused service and ordered out of places of business because the managers or owners find fault with their lifestyle. Your beliefs, your religion, your lifestyle is an offense to me. And so therefore, would you please leave? Go. There are video recordings of owners screaming, yelling, cursing at conservatives and telling them to get out. Now you have to remember, that means these business owners and these managers, they are refusing income. Which means that apparently their stand for what they believe is more important than the money that would come in from the Christians or conservatives. Isn't that what Jack Phillips was saying? My stand for my beliefs is more important than the money I would make from this cake or any other cake that I would bake for such arrangements and such celebrations. Well, now that Christians and conservatives in different places, it's been very limited to this point. But now that it's happened, Christians and conservatives, you know, they're crying foul. This is wrong. It shouldn't be this way. We have, what's the next word? Rights. The problem is they brought this on themselves. You see, on the surface, the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Jack Phillips appears to be a resounding victory for Christians throughout the land. The problem is that ruling was not about Christians. That's what so many people have missed. It was not about Christians. This ruling had to do with anybody being able to refuse service to another person based upon personal beliefs. So therefore, even though the Christians were jumping for joy, we've won. No, you don't understand. It wasn't about the body of Christ. It was a judgment, a ruling about people and their businesses, their public, secular businesses. What this decision does is it actually establishes the foundational criterion by which businesses can deny service to Christians and conservatives, a ruling stating that service can be denied when a person feels providing the service directly contradicts their religious and moral beliefs. To coin an old phrase, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And Christians don't get this. This goes back to that hypocrisy, this we want elite status, we want what we want, but you can't have what we get because we're better than you. Really? I wonder, out of all those people on that hillside that day, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that Jesus fed, how many of them might have been involved in homosexuality? Who knows? What do you think, all those people were good, pure, living Jews who had nothing going on in their life? Seriously? And you know, it's interesting how that, what was it Jesus said about that lady caught in the act of adultery? He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more, but I don't condemn you. If anybody was qualified to condemn anyone, it was Jesus. But he said, I don't condemn you. Looking ahead to the possible ramifications of this decision, Christians and conservatives alike need to be prepared for what could become a type of persecution not generally spoken of. See, there are a lot of Christians, preachers and prophets, so-called, that have, here in the United States, that have talked about how that in the last days, we as Christians are going to be persecuted through beatings and imprisonments and executions and all these kinds of things. And, you know, we've listened to that. But, you know, it doesn't have to get to that at all. Absolutely not. Because there's another kind of persecution which could be absolutely devastating, and that is denial of service at places of business. Now, you need to think about this. What if, you know, well, this has already been happening in some restaurants, one particular coffee shop where the owner just went ballistic on some conservatives. But this is happening. This is happening now. Christians and conservatives are being ordered out of places of business because the liberal owners and managers don't want them in there. It's happening. Maybe you've been living in a way you haven't heard any of this. It's happening now. And I'm telling you, this is just the beginning. Okay, what if? What if, you know, your car breaks down out in the middle of nowhere and you call and, you know, I need help. And so here comes the tow truck. And the tow truck driver gets out, and there you are, and you go, oh, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for sending somebody to help us. Oh, you're an answer to prayer. And he looks at you and he says, really? I'm an answer to prayer? What, you guys must be Christians. Yes, yes, we are. You know, glory to God, we're Christians. He says, well, you know what? I'm gay, and I find your beliefs offensive to me. And I'm sorry, I cannot in good conscience help you. Good evening. Gets in the truck and drives off. Well, is that fair? No, Brother Martin, that's not fair. What? Wait a minute. Why isn't it fair? If we as Christians can say no because I disagree with you and your lifestyle, you're telling me they can't? Are you saying they don't have the same right Because that's what the Supreme Court ruling has done. That's what has happened in this ruling. And that's where Christians have missed it so horribly. What if here you are, you know, with your mom, dad, spouse, whatever, and boom, they drop over, and it's like, oh no, they stop breathing, then somebody help, and then here comes someone and says, I know CPR, I'm registered, and so forth, and thank you, oh Jesus, thank you, and this person says, wait a second, are you a Christian? Oh, well, yeah, we're Christians. Well, I'm sorry, I'm Muslim, and I find your beliefs extremely offensive to me, and I cannot do anything to save the life of an infidel. Goodbye. Why can't that happen? Why can't that take place? Well, it can. You know, what about the college professor who fails Christian students because they're Christians and he disagrees with their lifestyle? Can the car mechanic refuse to fix your car because he disagrees with your lifestyle? You're a Christian, after all. What about if a pipe breaks in your house and it looks like Niagara Falls, and you call a plumber, and the plumber shows up and sees all of these, pictures and posters and sayings about Jesus and praise the Lord and all this other, are you a Christian? Well, I'm sorry, but I find your beliefs offensive. I can't help you in good conscience. And then leaves. Now, what are you going to do? What if it's the electrician? What if it's the heating guy, the plumber, the electrician, the air conditioner, the hot water guy? I mean, what are you going to do? Because now this is a reality. What about the grocery store that puts a sign up that says, Christians are not welcome here? Well, Brother Martin, that could never happen. You know what? 20 years ago, if I'd have stood up here and said, the day's coming when Christians are going to be kicked out of businesses just because they're Christians, and the business owners will get away with it, you'd say you're nuts. Brother Martin, that'll never happen. Why, the laws of this country protect us against such a thing. Really? A law has been passed guaranteeing it can happen. And Christians think they've won. You know, what kind of checklist do we as Christians create in order to establish who we will and will not serve in our secular businesses? And how do we create this checklist to be standard for all Christians? Do you honestly think we can come together in unity over that? You and I both know better. You know, where's the line between our social rights as Christians and hypocrisy? You know, if Christians and conservatives and homosexuals and other liberals are denying services to those with whom they disagree, isn't that somewhat similar to, we don't serve Negroes here? Isn't it? There's a bunch of you in here thinking about this, and a bunch of you out there really thinking hard about this, because that's what's happened. I understand Jack Phillips' position, and he's not the only baker to have done this. Evidently, there was a pizza place, and I think in Indiana, we will not cater, for your party because of, what you're doing, your lifestyle and all that. Well, and they took the heat for it. The thing is, guys, we need to think about this. This is not as clear-cut as it seems to be. And because of this ruling, we've now entered into a place to where we don't have to be beaten. We don't have to be imprisoned. We don't have to be executed. Just tell me you're not going to fix my car. Tell me you're not going to sell me food. Tell me you're not going to fix my furnace, my air conditioner. Just refuse to do anything for me. And now what am I going to do? Tell me that you're not going to serve me at the bank. I mean, where does it end? And how do we as Christians come up with our list and tell other people they can't? Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, look closely at this. Pay very close attention to what God is saying here in His Word. Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether the fornicators of this world, meaning the lost people, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, you know, the lost people out there in the world. For then must ye needs go out of the world, meaning you'd have to die to get away from all of them. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother, a Christian, a fellow believer, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, do, he says, not to eat. No, not to eat. No fellowshipping with this person. In other words, you cut them off. If they're a Christian. He says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Meaning those who aren't born again, that are, you know, out there in the world. Do not ye judge them that are within? Meaning, don't you have the sense to discern your brothers and sisters in Christ and their lifestyle and what you're supposed to do? But them that are without, meaning those who haven't accepted Jesus as Savior, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. What is that? Who is that wicked person? It's that person who professes Jesus as Savior but is the adulterer, is the idolater, the covetous, etc., etc. All of what he said right there. Okay, now, if Christians are going to deny service, you know, to homosexuals and other people whose lifestyle or religion is undeniably contradictory to Scripture, will they also deny service to Christians in sin? Are you going to or not? What are you seeing here in the Word of God? He's saying, you draw the line. Draw the line. Because if they're professing Jesus and they're living these ways, he said, you don't mingle with them. You cut them off. So therefore, if I'm going to tell these folks I won't bake your cake, fix your car, fix your plumbing, fix your furnace, or whatever the case would be, because your lifestyle offends me, or I can't in all good moral conscience do this for you, it contradicts my very beliefs, don't I have to say the same thing to the Christians that I know are in sin? Don't I have to turn them away as well? You know, if there's an unmarried Christian couple living together, sadly this goes on a whole lot. If there's an unmarried Christian couple living together for, you know, X number of years, they've got a kid, two, three kids, they save up their money to buy a house, and they want a cake for a housewarming party, do you bake it? Do you? Or do you say, no, I'm sorry, but according to the Word of God, I cannot, in good moral conscience, bake this cake for you because of the sin. And what about... What if this couple wants you to bake a cake to celebrate their 10th year together? Their 10th year of happily living together in sin. Do you bake the cake? Happy 10th? Mark and Sue? I mean, what? Do you bake the cake? Do you conduct business with them? Or what about this? What about a young lady who... hasn't been very morally discreet, and she has, let's just say, enjoyed the company of various men in her life. She's not married, but lo and behold, she gets pregnant. And so now what do? Bake a cake that says, congratulations, Susie, on your illegitimate child? Where do you draw the line? And if you're going to follow Scripture, you draw the line in the body of Christ, but not with the world. Hear me out now. You don't. And this is where a lot of people are going to fuss at me. Well, Brother Martin, you're compromising. and you're condoning their life. No, I'm not condoning anything. If I open a business and I'm saying I'm here to do business and I'm not going to serve certain people, well, you know, like what he talks about, the folks in the world, I better put a list up there. If you do this, don't come in. And I also better have a list. If you're a Christian and you're doing this, don't come in. I think I might go out of business pretty quickly. I mean, can you imagine presenting that kind of a business plan to a bank to get a business loan? We're not going to let these people in, and we're not going to let these people in. The bank's going to say, well, we're not giving you the money. Because that's just not right. This isn't a church. This is your repair shop. This isn't a church. This is your bakery. You guys follow this? And this is where the hypocrisy is absolutely disgusting in the body of Christ. You can't have it both ways. You simply can't. You know, again, where is the line between our social rights as Christians and hypocrisy? You know, what about, here come two men into my bakery, and I'm using bakery because that's where all this started. So here come two men into my bakery. They say, well, we're going to get married, and we'd like you to bake our wedding cake. Now, I'm a Christian, but I also know they don't profess Jesus. Is this not an opportunity for me to share Jesus with them? Absolutely. And then maybe I could say something like this. Fellas, you know what? I'm glad you came in today. And I want you to know this. I personally, as the owner of this business, as the person who established this business, I personally am going to handle the baking of your wedding cake. And I'm going to do everything I can to make it the absolutely best cake that I could in any way, shape, or form make for you. You see, I'm a Christian. And, you know, according to the Word of God, the lifestyle you're living, it's wrong. It's a sin. And God does not agree with it, but at the same time, He loves you. And if He loves you, you know, I love you too. And I want you to know God's love. And so I'm going to bake this cake for you. And I'm going to do the absolute best I can. And I'm going to be praying over this cake. And not only that, guys, I want you to know, I'm going to be praying for you too. Praying for you to know the love of God. Praying for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm praying that in the day of your wedding, God's presence fills that church. Now you say, wait a minute, you're asking God to bless. Did you hear me use the word bless? No. Okay, are you hearing what I'm saying? When God's presence is super strong, there's usually conviction in the heart of the sinner. Do you not get this? And so guys, what I'm going to do, I'm going to bake this cake for you. And I will personally see to it that it is delivered to wherever it is you're getting married. But I'm going to be praying for you guys. And I'm going to be praying for God's presence to be strong in your life, for you to know His love, for His presence to be strong in that ceremony. Do you see what I'm... By the time you're done with that, they may look at you and say, you know, I think we'll go somewhere else. So you guys are starting to understand this. Is this not an opportunity to minister to people who need the love of God? God loves them. Remember John 3:16, whosoever. These folks out there, whatever, it's not just about homosexuals. It's all of the people out there, the whosoevers. You and I were whosoevers at one time. Whosoever, whosoever. If we as Christians refuse service, regardless of what it is, bakery, electrician, I mean, whatever. If we refuse service based on the reasons previously mentioned, have we correctly held to biblical standards and pleased God? Or have we hindered the effectiveness of our witness for Christ and driven people further away from Jesus? What have we done? When these kind of situations arise, shouldn't we use them as opportunities to share Jesus? Or should we deny service? Just because we disagree with their lifestyle does not mean that we become judge and jury and push them away from the life of the very person who saved us. You know what we do? We do as Jesus. What's Jesus going to do? Jesus, I want to be born again. Yeah, well, you know what? You need to quit living that way before I get you born again. No. He says, come as you are. Let's get born again here and go from there. How many people did he heal that we would not want coming into our businesses? Now, I say that as a figure of speech. And again, I'm not criticizing Jack Phillips. However, we need to think long and hard about all of these rights we demand as Christians. If we're running a secular business, you know what? When folks come in, it's an opportunity to let the love of God flow and touch them. Even if we disagree with their lifestyle, even if we disagree with their beliefs, it is a chance for us to do something, because for all we know, we may be the only true Christian they ever come in contact with. And is that the message we want to send them out the door with? It better not be. Now again, I know, man, a lot of Christians, you know, well, you're wrong, brother. No, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong in this. We're talking about a secular business, whatever it is, that's out there to help people and provide a service. And if you're a Christian and you own such a business, man, you're going to be touching more people than I as a pastor ever will. Here I am, I'm ministering to people, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, as they say. But if you've got a business out there, man, you've got all kinds of people coming in. And it's a chance to touch them with the love of God and to speak His grace into their life. To sow the seed so that somebody else can come along and water, and then later God gives the harvest, the increase. You can be a laborer in the harvest field of their lives. And this, again, I'm not criticizing or trying to be harsh to all business owners of any kind of business who have taken the same kind of action that Jack Phillips did. What I'm saying is, as Christians, all too often, we are not thinking these things through. And we're not considering why we're here. Didn't Jesus say something? I mean, in the Bible, isn't there prophecy about it's going to get worse before he comes back? Well, you know what? This is a part of the worst. And the sad thing is, now there's a Supreme Court decision that could come back to bite us, as people say. And too many Christians are rejoicing over something that they don't need to be rejoicing over. Yeah, we may disagree. You know, I disagree with your lifestyle and so forth, but man, I want you to know Jesus. You know, I want you to know what God did for me, He'll do it for you. Praise God. So guys, listen. When these kind of things come up, don't just jump on the bandwagon of hallelujah. We're Christians and we demand and we expect and you better do for. Now sit back and think, how does this fit into the overall scheme of what God has said in His Word? And then respond accordingly out of God's love, mercy, and grace.